Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you all to Drive Through HR, and today it's Nisha and William, and Brian Bumpan is not available with us today, and so we are so excited to talk to one of our wonderful guests, first time on the show. In fact, I met her through Twitter, through our most famous Twitter chat, T-Chat, that is from Talent Culture. So let's welcome our guest, Chantal. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm doing well. It's cold where I am. We're actually getting snow right now, which sucks, but it's good.
Great. Well, glad to have you here with us today for the first time, and I'm so excited to finally talk to you, at least virtually, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you can do us a favor, would you please talk a little bit about who you are and what you do so our audience can learn a little bit more about you?
Sure. Well, I'm located in Ottawa, Ontario. I grew up in Montreal, Quebec. My background, I actually have a quite varied background. I started in retail and worked my way up into retail management. I never considered that HR, but I did a lot of HR related things in retail, you know, hiring, firing, employee management, that type of thing. But I never really thought of it as HR. And then approximately 5 years ago, I got my first quote-unquote real HR job where I was in recruiting and staffing. I've worked various positions. I've worked as a generalist where I got to touch and feel everything related to HR. And I've worked in the private and nonprofit sector. And currently I'm in the federal government sector, the public sector, and staffing.
Wow, that is a lot of different industries right there.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Yeah. So let me ask you our regular question, first of all, to kick off the show, and then we will talk more about, you know, your experience from different industries. So what's keeping you up at night these days from an HR perspective?
From an HR perspective, I would say that where the future of HR is going, where, you know, in where HR professionals see it's going, where it's going in my own province, and where I would like it to go. So I see it as a threefold item. Like, there's a lot of talk about HR, you know, wanting a seat at the C-suite table, wanting to be more recognized, seen as more professional, less transactional, less as police in the business, which is interesting because in my province, they have just had the third reading of a bill from the HRPA, which is kind of like your SHRM in the States, which is the HR Professional Association, where they've passed a bill to regulate HR professionals that use the designation here in Ontario, CHRP, whereas that they'd be more liable. So they would need to have liability insurance, just like accountants or lawyers, and where they would have the authority to go in and conduct investigations of its members.
So I want to parse that. The future of HR as practitioners see it, and as you see it. So how do you think most HR practitioners see the 20 years out?
20 years out, I think most see it as being a strategic business partner, as, mm-hmm. you know, being a leader as part of the leadership of the company. My feeling is when I'm reading different articles on the future of HR, that they want to be seen as more helping develop the business, seeing the business, helping it grow. That's where I tend to see myself in HR in the future as being more like, instead of human resources, being more as people management, helping with the development of the people, you know, learning plans, mentoring, job training, job shadowing, and developing people.
So let's just agree that 20 years from now HR is more strategic, and whether or not that will actually be the case or not, but let's just agree that that's the case. What's the barriers to that actually happening in your mind? Like, what do you? Is it skills? Is it competence? Is it experience? Is it IQ? Like, is it forces? You know, at the executive level, like, what are the barriers to that future not being realized?
For me, I think the barriers would be not knowing the business that you're in. Where HR has to have a lot of knowledge of policies and regulations, that's where we're seen sometimes as police. You know, you go to HR and you're like, you can't do that because we have a rule against that. I think it's understanding the business you're working for, so having more of the business acumen and knowing what the business is doing, not just the HR side, but having that ability to walk into an organization, and if the business specializes in category A, that you know everything about that category, not just the HR behind it.
So, and we're thinking of, like, especially you had mentioned your retail background. So folks that are working in retail that are just so happen to be HR folks, that they actually know the business of retail. They actually know things outside of the purview of HR, but they know the industry. Is that, am I getting it correctly?
Yes, that would be correct. So if you were working in retail, you would know, you know, how buying is planned. You would know the ebbs and flow of hiring because, you know, Christmas is a busier season. You'd have to have a bigger workforce. You'd know everything behind the purchasing of retail, how sales are planned so far in advance, like that whole dynamic behind it, not just the HR of hiring people or, you know, doing their pay or managing sick leave.
So how do they get to know that? I actually agree with you. I agree, especially in the vertical markets, that if you're in healthcare, you know healthcare first and then HR second. But that's not our industry right now, both in Canada and the United States. They know HR. Typically, they know HR really, really well. Pieces of HR, generalize HR, and if they're a specialist, then they know they're, you know, if they're a comp person, they know comp really well, et cetera. But a lot of this is time served. So if they're in a particular industry, how do they, with all of the stressors of a typical day or week, how do they actually get time to learn the business?
I would think that, like any employee wanting to know the business they're in, is to step up and volunteer and be heard. You know, don't just work on HR-related items. Volunteer for committees or projects that are doing other things in the business. When you're studying HR in school, take business courses, not just HR courses. Take some marketing courses, something that will broaden your scope so it's not just HR. Go to conferences that are related to your industry. Go to your boss and ask for development in a certain business area if you don't have the knowledge. That would be my advice to people that want to learn more about the business and that they're in.
Well, in fact, you know, we always talk about what are some skills that we should learn from other functions of the business in order to elevate our own profession and in order to learn some new skills and to be successful in our future as an HR professional. So throughout your HR experiences from different industries, what do you see, right now, some of the skills that other functions of the business should have learned from HR?
That almost sounds like a trick question, that they should have learned from HR. I think other areas of the business should learn how to work with employees. I've seen a lot of companies where managers talk down to employees. They don't work with them. That leadership development really needs to be worked on. Where there's gaps where a new manager is thrown into a managerial role, and they really don't understand the difference of being a manager and employee, and then they're expected to be in that role. And a lot of first-time managers end up being, I don't want to say dictators, a harsh word, but end up giving orders instead of working with employees. So I think they could work with HR better to have better employee relations, because that's something that, as an HR professional, I see myself skilled in, and I would see other HR professionals skilled in, is working with people and understanding, you know, how to relate to people. So I would like to see businesses encompass that more and have better leadership and management programs, especially for first-time people in those roles.
That's great. Well, you know, I remember one of the recent articles that I read at Wall Street Journal saying companies say no to having an HR department. So they turned out to be saying that sometimes the only thing worse than having an HR department is not having one. So for that, what do you see would be the key for HR acceptance? I mean, HR's acceptance.
I would say HR would have to show the value being more than just policies and procedures. I know a lot of companies have a view of HR as being, well, you're the ones that draw up the policy manual and the employee manual, and we have to follow all your rules, and you won't let us fire people when we want to. And it just sometimes has a negative connotation, although we are there for some of those purposes. I mean, we do have to follow rules and regulations. I think HR needs to be more proactive in talent management, in mentoring programs, just in ways of developing people and showing their value in that way and how they can help the business move forward. So if there is in like a five-year plan, how HR can help the employees move that forward and help the leader move that forward by developing training programs.
All right, I got to ask you a skills gap. This is a fantastic conversation. Got to ask you a skills gap question, and I thought Nisha was going to touch on it a little bit, but she asked the opposite of what folks could learn from us, which I thought was a great question. What is our gap? Like we learning the industry and learning the vertical market. I love that. I absolutely agree. You're bright because I agree with you. Done. But what's our what's our own skills gaps? Like, what do you think 20 years from now, if you were building the perfect HR leader, what would be the building blocks that you'd have them have with skills?
With skills, I would like to see more HR professionals have marketing, take some marketing courses to understand how to advertise the business. Because when you're recruiting or hiring, it's not – you're not just hiring for one role. You're hiring for the company, for the culture. So it's kind of a collaboration between marketing, understanding what the company does, what their unique selling point is to employees, being able to translate that to future employees and making sure you're hiring the quote-unquote right fit. So I'd like to see more marketing skills and understanding that business knowledge behind it. And I think leadership skills. HR professionals are in leadership roles, and I think they need to work on their leadership skills as leadership changes, that they should be studying and reading anything related to leadership and how they could develop themselves better so that they can get their points across to people differently and better so they're understood.
Oh, I like all that. I like all that. All right, so I'm going to wave a wand. You're working now with a venture-funded firm, and this actually really did happen to Nisha and I on a show where one of our guests was just she just dropped into a New York firm, and the CEO gave her an unlimited budget to build her HR and recruiting process. She's literally a bank. I mean, it's a bank. I can't think of the name of the company right now, but her last name her name's Lorna Hagen. And the CEO just said, listen, it's an unlimited pot. Build what you want, all the technologies, the process, the people, hire whatever you want. So this is a true story. It actually has happened. But you're going to do this in the kind of the virtual world. How would you build if budget weren't an issue and you had a blank slate? There was nothing there. You had inherited no processes, no technology, no staff. How would you build HR from the ground up?
Wow, that's a dream job. first, I think before hiring anybody, I would have to see what the culture of the business is going to be. I mean, obviously, if there's a CEO or someone in charge, they would have a vision of how they want their business to look like. And I would need to understand that before hiring and building an HR department, because it wouldn't help me hiring people if I didn't understand the vision 5 years from now. This is how we want the company to look. So I would need to understand that so I could hire the right people to fit into the culture and that would want to work there 5 years from now, because there's nothing worse than hiring people and you think they're great and then 2 or 3 months later they quit because it's not the right environment for them. They don't like working there. Some people like being in a fun environment where you have beer on tap on Fridays, and other people like being in a serious work environment. So it's to understand that first. And then from there, it would just be developing the different departments, like what the company needs. IT-wise, I love technology, so I would want the most up-to-date computer system and the most up-to-date, you know, software that employees are using, but it would have to be software that they need to use. I don't like using software that has nothing to do with my job or having it sit there and never be used, because there's software sometimes that you're forced to use and you wonder why you even use it because it's so old or out of date or not even relevant to the job. So it would be understanding the different business needs and working from that, just basically from the ground up, and not rush anything. I think businesses make mistakes sometimes, especially when hiring, is they have an empty position, so they have to fill it now instead of looking and taking their time and just working the process properly. They just rush it, and they hire whoever comes in the door first, and it usually is a mistake. So I'd work at it slowly and build it up slowly, but have to understand what the culture and where the business wants to be 5 years down the road.
Nice. Well, so much of this has been about the future of HR. What's your take on the future of work? So the other side of this is how we'll actually get work done 20 years from now. What's your general sense or take on that?
I would love to see the future of work be more not in an office location, more virtual, where people could have their own hours. For myself, it would be great because I'm not a morning person, but I'm forced to fit into that morning person routine where I have to be at work for a certain hour in the morning, and I'd love to work later because I'm not a morning person. People don't like talking to me first thing in the morning. So I'd love to see more virtual workspaces where people are collaborating from around the world, and it's not a fixed location. You have to work at this company because you work in this city. So I'd like to see it more dynamic that way and have more virtual offices and virtual employees. I think that would be great.
Well, this is going to be a fantastic conversation, as William said. When you know what, all the employees that are going to be virtual employees, and we don't need to have a real HR person that has to be in an organization. What do you suggest would be the future looks like for the HR when they're going to manage these virtual employees? Do you think technology would take the role of HR in the future when it comes to automation, or even if it is organizations managing their talent management or compensation or training, everything on technology? What do you see?
I think it would take more a technology-based role. I don't think it would eliminate HR if we had virtual people working from around the world. I don't think you would have the typical HR administrative role like you have in an office now where they're in charge of employee files and they have their paperwork. It would be more automated that way. But I think you'd still need the HR person handling the talent management, organizing the talent to make sure you have the right skills for the jobs that are required, and working with the team to make sure that it's functioning, that teams that need to get work done, that is being done. And training can be done virtually. There's so much online now that people should take advantage of online training, because there's free things, there's paid things online. I think it's great that it's more self-paced and more dynamic that way. And I think it would open the door to a very diverse culture, which is great for business, because when you have ideas that are diverse and from different backgrounds, I think that's where business innovates more and grows better. So I think having a virtual workforce and just one person, even HR, just managing that would help business tremendously.
All right. So next one, this is going to be a common conversation or a regular conversation that can happen for an HR professional, even if it is when they're initial stage of their career and going forward. HR generalist or HR specialist? You know, we say that, a man who knows everything, probably he won't be the master of, he will be the master of nothing. There is a quote like that, right? So do you suggest in future HR professionals have to be a specialist or a generalist?
You're talking to someone that's done generalists, so I like this. I like the generalist role. I like being able to dabble and touch in everything, and it doesn't mean that I'm not good at everything or I'm better at one thing than another. I just like having diversity in my role, so I like the generalist role. I know it's not. A lot of people say that's dying and you have to be a specialist. And right now I'm in staffing, which is a specialist area, but I like the generalist role. I really like being able to do compensation, the compensation strategy for the company, the hiring, the recruiting, the talent management, performance management. I like doing everything. So I really like the generalist role and hope that that continues in the future.
You know, as a piggyback to that, what programmatically, what can we do to get more, to be supportive of more women in leadership roles, either through leadership development or different types of programs? Like, what's your take on what companies can do, academia can do, just what can we do to get more of that pipeline, if you will?
I think to work with people you have in the company already, I'd like to see more mentoring programs implemented where women can follow leaders now and mentor with them and develop their skills that way, to have be involved in more leadership development that way. There is not a lot of women in leadership roles. I'm fortunate where in the public service where I am, I do see women in leadership roles, maybe not in high-level roles sometimes, but I'd like to see job twinning and more mentoring of women to develop them as leaders.
So I got to ask you about mentor programs and women in particular. Is it your take, and again, this is going to be kind of fall on the gender roles, but I'm curious about it. Do men make better mentors for women, or do women make better mentors for women?
Let's see. I've had the experience of having both, and I don't know if I could say women or men are better. I think it depends on the person in the role. I had a fantastic woman, a mentor. She was awesome, was very clear and very smart. And I think it's based on your level of knowledge and emotional intelligence and being able to respond to the people that you're working with. I wouldn't necessarily say men or women make better. It's really the person in the role. They really have to know what they're doing and really have to know their job and the motivation behind the job and the motivation for why a person does this the way they do.
Right. So for those HR generalists, in fact, I've been in my whole career as an HR generalist, so I totally adore that profile and being able to learn the whole spectrum of a business, which is so great. So for them, you know, how can HR quickly react to the changes, like some of the market fluctuations or even if any kind of a policy changes or mandates that are happening in our organization, or even if it is a corporate strategy that is going to happen, probably any shifts? So what do you suggest for the HR in order to quickly react to those changes?
I say for HR, anybody in a company role is to be open to change. Business is always changing and evolving, and if you're not learning or changing with it, then you're left behind. So I would say to not be rigid, to not be stuck on past rules or regulations. There's nothing worse when you're in HR or management and you're going up to another manager asking, why do we have this policy? And the answer is because it's always been there. To me, that's the worst answer you could ever get. If you can't tell me why we do this the way we do, and your answer is because it's always been that way, then it's time to get rid of it. It's one of my pet peeves when managers tell me it's because we've always done it this way. If that's the only way you can explain it, then that policy or rule is no longer valid. We're getting rid of it. So I think HR managers just need to be flexible and open to change. And while they sometimes create the policies and procedures, realize that there might not be a use for them, to get rid of them, to keep things simple. I don't like a lot of jargon in policies and procedures. I like to keep it simple and straightforward. So just to keep that in mind and to never stop learning.
Great. Well, another question would be about employee relations, because most of them say that employee relations is it's an easy task, but it's not that easy to, you know, when we manage people that have different perspective and, in fact, different grievances and concerns. So what are your thoughts to our audience to be an expert in employee relations?
I think just to realize that you are working with people, so everybody does have different concerns and issues that they're dealing with at work, in their private life, and that will impact work too. So whatever they have going on at home does impact work. People are human. They're going to have good days and bad days. Your superstar employee is not going to be 100% superstar every day of the week. So to allow people to be themselves and realize that not everybody is going to be the same, not everybody is perfect, so to accept that and treat people as people, not as a number. So when you're dealing with people in employee relations, you know, sit down, talk with them one-on-one and not treat them like they're a number, but treat them that, you know what, you might have had an off day, something might be going on in your life, what can I do to help you? I like to approach it that I'm there to help employees. I'm not there to point a finger and crack down rules and yell at them. It's to work with them. And I think if you treat people as people and respect that everybody has their own skills and talents that they bring to the table, that your employee relations will be 100 times better.
That's true. And in fact, this is one of my the favorite questions of Brian Vinson. So I want to bring that to you. Where do you draw inspiration from?
I draw inspiration from a lot of it is actually from the online community, whether on Twitter or the Twitter chats or other groups that I'm involved in. So I get a lot of inspiration from people that are in the Twitter chats, like T-Chat, from around the world. When I see comments they make or things that they're doing, I find it very inspiring, and it inspires me to do better in my job. So I find a lot of it from the people out there listening and the people on Twitter.
Great. So, Shandell, we are about to wrap up the show. So where can people come and find you, connect with you, and probably send you a note?
They can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at C. Bechervez. Bechervez is my last name. No one knows how to pronounce it or spell it. So I guess I'll spell it for your audience just in case. So it's at CBECHERVAISE. They can find me on LinkedIn as well, Chantel Bechervez on G+, and on Pinterest too. If they go to the show notes for today, the promo, my Twitter handle's there. It's probably the best way to find me because I have a really hard last French name, so that's what I'm known for.
Oh, that's a cool name. So, Chantel, it's been a great pleasure to have you here with us today, and it's been a great conversation. So finally, to the young and upcoming HR professionals, what are your words of wisdom to them in order to pursue the HR profession?
I would say never give up. I mean, getting into the HR profession can be hard. Getting your foot in the door can be hard in HR, but never give up. I would say go to your local association. Go to meetings, volunteer, learn all you can. Go to on Twitter, on social media, any groups that are involved in HR and become a part of it so you can see what's going on in your city, town, wherever you are, and the HR world around you. And reach out to people and ask for advice. Never be shy to ask because, you know, you might be afraid that someone will say no, but you never know what they're going to say, so always ask.
Great. Well, that was a great conversation, Chantel, and look forward to having you once again soon at Drive2HR sometime in the future. And to our audience, wish you all a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you so much.